You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Detox. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
My guess is that every single one of us here today, in one way or another, at some level, can identify with that song. If you look over your past week, maybe your past month, in some way or another, you've hurt yourself through the choices that we've made. No doubt we've hurt others through the choices that we've made. We all hurt. We've all been there. There's a good chance we'll be there again. We'll experience that hurt. But here's the hope that I have for each and every one of us. You don't have to live there. You don't have to live in that hurt. I want to offer you today freedom. I want to offer you today hope. I want to offer you today healing. And it doesn't come from a magic formula. It doesn't come from a pill that I can give you. It'll take work. No doubt the process will be painful. You're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to be intentional. But here's the good news. On the other side of it is freedom. On the other side of it is hope. And it's closer than what you think it is. Matter of fact, God brought you here today because he wants to deal with your hurt. And so I welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We're in this series called Detox, and we're in the third week, and if you haven't been here, I want to encourage you to download the podcast because we're kind of following a process here, and so you're kind of catching us in the middle, but we're glad that you're here. I just want to encourage you to go back. And here's what we're learning. You know, many of us believe that God can detox us. He can cleanse us. And he can forgive us of our sins. But the day-to-day battle is something totally different. And so what happens is, you know, we come to a service like this and you hear a message and maybe you hear some principles and you hear some practical truths and you go home and you try to implement them and you try to apply them to your life and you fail. And so that evening you are laying there in bed and you just say, God, you know what? Here I am again. And you just dump and confess where you feel that you got all the things wrong in that day. Then you start all over the next day. And you're thinking, well, at least when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But here's what I want to suggest to you today, okay? It doesn't have to be that way. I'm telling you, it does not have to be that way. You see, here's what I believe. The Christian life is not about doing the best you can and then dying and going to heaven. It's not. That's not what the Christian life is all about. Maybe that's what you think the Christian life is all about. But the Christian life is not about you just trying to do the best you can. You trying to be more and more like Jesus and trying to live a better life and trying to have a better life. And then somehow you die and you get to go to heaven. Here's what I want you to understand today. And it's this. Sin doesn't control where you go when you die. Sin doesn't control where you go when you die. Now, Most of us understand that. We believe that because we know that Jesus Christ came to earth and he lived a life that we could not live. He lived a perfect life. And then he died on a cross, not for his sin, but for your sin and my sin and the sins of the world. And when you accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins, then when you die, you get to go to heaven. And we know that. But I'm telling you, that's just a small part of it. There is so much more. And I want to share that with you today. Here's what I want us to understand. Sin doesn't have to control what you do while you live. Did you get that? Sin doesn't have to control what you do while you live. And here's what we're learning. You can actually be free, not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin. You can actually be free from the power of sin. You see, what happens is when you accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins, what happens is you become a brand new person. You become a brand new person, and you're not the person that you used to be. And so if you're not the person that you used to be, why would you continue to live the way you used to live? It just doesn't make sense. You see, once you place your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, you become a brand new person. Paul, and we're going to look at what he wrote today. He wrote this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have what? Become new. And so why would you and I continue to live in the way that we used to live when we're a new creation? When the old things have been dealt with and we now have a new life. And so we've talked about our problem, that we realize that we're not alone. All of us have a problem, okay? And for the past few weeks, we've been looking at the solution. And I want us to be reminded of the problem that we're dealing with, because Paul lets us know that he had a problem. The same man who wrote this, okay, also wrote this right here, which we can all identify with. And we can all grasp to some level. Here's what he said. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. We all basically agree, you know what? You're talking about me. He goes on, he says, for I have the desire to do what is good. I have a desire to be a good person. I have a desire to be a great father or a great mother or a great wife or a great husband or a great son or a daughter or a friend or person. I have the desire, but I can't carry it out. I cannot carry it out. Wow. That's your experience, right? That's our experience. And so why do you keep doing the things that you don't want to do? Well, he goes on. Here's what he says. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Wow. This is our experience. This is all of our experiences. And you're not alone. And he says this, he goes on and says this, now if I do not do what I want to do, it is no longer I, okay, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Wow. What he's saying is this, okay, let me tell you why you can't do what you want to do, okay? Let me tell you why you can't do what you want to do. It's because sin is living in you. Remember, Adam? We're all what? We're all born into Adam. All right, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, my beautiful wife, okay, my four kids, okay? Your favorite granddaughter, your favorite grandson, okay? As cute as he is, as cute as she is, guess what? They're all born in Adam, okay? They're all born in Adam. And when Adam sinned, it affected who? It affected all of us. It affected the whole human race. And we're all sinners. We're all born into sin. And so we have a bent. We have a tendency to do that which is wrong. And here's what I want us to understand. And it's this right here. We're not good people who occasionally do bad things. We are bad people who occasionally do good things. Y'all okay on that one? See, what we say is, we say, well, we're basically good people. Really? Why would a fundamentally good person do things that are bad? I can understand why a fundamentally bad person would occasionally do good things, but you know what? It just doesn't make sense that a fundamentally good person would do bad things. And so we're all born into Adam. You see, the only reason why a bad person would occasionally do good things would be for selfish reasons. It's for my own personal gain. I want something, and so I'm going to what? Do that which is good. Hopefully that it gets somebody's attention and somebody will what? Reward me. But why would a fundamentally good person do something bad? And what we're going to learn is Paul would say, you know what? You may not agree with him. There are no fundamentally good people. None. None. Why? Because we're all born into Adam. And this is what we do. So that which I don't want to do, I find myself doing, and I can't stop myself. I don't have an answer. And what he is saying is, he's saying that it's sin in you and me. That's the entity. It's a thing. We're not talking about a verb. We're talking about a noun. That there's something that I'm born with that causes me, that leads me to do that which is wrong. And yet when I accept Jesus Christ, guess what? I'm forgiven of all my sins. And I become a new creature. I become a new person. And we go from Adam to Jesus. And here's what we need to understand. Here's the good news, okay? I'm going to help you out, all right? Because I know this bothers a lot of you. Okay, this bothers a lot of you. But what do we say? If you don't diagnose the problem correctly, you'll never be able to address it correctly. And here's the problem. None of us are basically good people. We are bad people who occasionally do good things. And so what happens is when I accept Jesus Christ, I'm in Jesus Christ. Now, what was true of me in Adam, ready for this? Okay? I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I want my way. Now, what was true of Jesus Christ, because I'm in him, is now true of me. You see, what is true of Christ is true of me. So now, guess what? I'm forgiven. I'm significant. I'm accepted. I'm secure. And when Christ died on a cross, he broke the power of sin. Now I no longer have to sin. I no longer have to do that which hurts me and hurts other people. We talked a little bit about this last week when I said about the international child. You remember that? When that international child is adopted and they leave the orphanage, they leave their country, they are adopted into a what? A new family. And what is true of the new family now becomes true of them. Even though they may not fully what? Comprehend it. They may not fully understand it. And you may not fully understand that when you accept Jesus Christ, and you're in him, now what's true of Christ is true of you. And just like that baby that was adopted into this new family, they're no longer under the rule and the reign of that orphanage or of that country. That's been broken. They're in a new family, though they may not fully understand it. And maybe you don't fully understand the transformation that took place when you, as a person in sin, accepted God's forgiveness of that sin through the person of Jesus Christ. You become a new creation. And it's not a matter of an addiction. It's not a matter of a bad habit. It's a matter of sin. Living in you, living in me. And that's why you can't do what you want to do. And yet once you're taken out of Adam and you're put in, come back here now, all right? Once you're taken out of Adam and you're put in Jesus Christ, everything becomes new. Now, just like that adopted child has to wrestle with its way of thinking, am I back in the orphanage or am I in a new family? We have that same thing. And so what Paul says is this. Paul says, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cutting, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He's saying that now that you have moved from Adam into Christ, I'm afraid that you're going to believe the lies of Satan, that you're not forgiven, that you're not accepted, that you're not significant, that you're not secure, and it'll lead you away from Christ. And so what we said is this, it's so important that you and I understand this because God communicates through our mind. And what I mean by mind, I mean your heart, your soul, the core of your being, and that God changes us by changing our minds. We're going to look at this next week even more in depth, and that God controls us through our mind. That's why Paul would say this. He would say, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died. Died to what? Sin. For you have died to sin, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now you're hidden in Christ with God. And then he says these powerful, listen, he says these powerful, powerful words. Here's what he says. When Christ, who is our what? When Christ, who is our life. You see, do you know that there's only one person who can live the Christian life? His name is Jesus. He's our life. We're not called to imitate him. We're not even called to be like him. We try that and we fail over and over and over again. And I need to understand that his life is now in me and he wants to live this life through me. And this isn't about living a better life. It's not about being a better person. Listen, when you go from Adam into Christ, you're literally a new person. You're a new creation. You're not trying to be a better person. You're not trying to be like Christ. And of course, if you're a new person, then we should live in a new way. And it's not about trying harder. Now, Paul gives us the solution to this. You say, Dwight, I'm not for sure if this is making sense. Well, we're all born into Adam, which means that we're all born into sin, and that's why you can't do what you want to do. But when you accept Jesus Christ, what happens is what's true of Christ is true of you. And he is our life. We're not trying to live the life. He is our life. And so Paul tells us how to bring this about in your life and my life. So let's look at what Paul continues to say. He says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, see, he wrote this letter probably about 30 years after Christ left earth. So they all knew that Christ lived and died. There were witnesses of this. He cannot die again. Once he died and rose again, he can't die again, he said. Death no longer has what? Mastery over him. He goes on to say this. He says, the death he died to what? To sin. Once and for all. Once and for all, he died to sin. He broke its power. But the life he lives to what? He lives to God. See, Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered sin. And yet you and I know that right on the heels of sin is hurt, is death. And so now he begins to explain how you and I can deal with this, how you and I can live free, how you and I can stay clean. He goes on to say this, in the same way, count, the word count there means accept or believe or embrace. He says, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, what happens is, I'm in Christ Jesus. And if I'm in Christ Jesus, I am now alive. I'm now alive. And so he says, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And here's the first thing that he says to us. It's 3D living. The first thing that we got to do is this. We got to declare that sin is no longer your master. I've got to declare that sin is no longer my master, that the power of sin has been broken in my life when I am in Christ Jesus. So that thing that controls you, that you say, I did it again. Maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's your jealousy. Maybe it's your lying. Maybe it's your addiction. Maybe it's lust. What happens is when that comes knocking, when that begins to raise itself up, what happens is what Paul is saying is count yourself dead to sin. What he is saying is declare that sin is not your master. When it tries to act up, you keep reminding yourself, you know what? Sin is no longer my master. I don't have to obey it. It no longer has power over me. And what he says here, he says, life in Christ. What he's talking about is abundant life. That when you and I count ourselves dead to sin and we declare that sin is not our master, what happens is that allows us to live life abundantly. Life to the fullest. Why? Because on the heels of sin is hurt, is pain, is death. And we've all experienced it. You know as well as I know, when you sin, it brings death to whatever you're touching. And so he says here, count yourself dead to sin, but alive. Alive. Why? Because you're in Christ to God. He goes on to say this. He says, therefore, in light of that, in light of the fact that you are dead to sin, that the power has been broken, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its what? Its evil desires. Paul says this, and I want you to get this, okay? Paul is saying that you and I have the ability to say yes or no to sin. He says, do not let sin reign in your body. He says, when you say yes to sin, what happens is you're letting it reign in your body, which means you're letting it control you. You're letting it control you. And so what happens is this. You not only have to declare that sin is no longer your master, you have to decide not to let sin rule you. You have to have a mindset. I will not let sin rule me because it brings pain. It brings hurt. It ultimately brings death. Now let me help you with this, okay? Let me ask us a question here. When you wrestle with sin, which side of the argument do you identify with? You say, what do you mean? Okay. Well, what happens is when something appears in your life and you think, I shouldn't, but I want to. I shouldn't, but I want to. Which side do you argue from? Do you argue from Adam's side? You say, what do you mean? Well, when you're having this conversation, if you're arguing from Adam's side, you know what you talk? Here's your talk. Well, nobody's perfect. I've always been susceptible to this. It runs in my family. It was true about my mother. It was true about my grandmother. It just runs in the Mason family. I'm human. You know you're only young once. You know, I'm only going to be young once. And what happens is when you argue from the Adam position, you are arguing from sin. And you will lose every single time. And it's completely different when you struggle from the point of who you are now. And who you are now, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, is that you are forgiven. You are accepted. You are significant. You are secure. And so what happens is when you argue from Jesus' position, here's what we say. That's sin trying to rule me. That's sin trying to conquer me. That's sin trying to bring death into my marriage. That's sin trying to bring death to my family. That's sin thinking that it can control me. That's addiction thinking that it can control me. And what happens is you begin to say, if you're here, you know what? I've had enough death in my marriage. I've had enough death with my family. I've had enough death in my finances. I've had enough death in my career. I've had enough death in my relationships. Why would somebody who has been freed from sin continue to sin when all it brings is hurt and pain and death? Why would I do something that's going to hurt me? Why would I do something that's going to hurt other people? Because you see, I've been set free from sin. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm accepted. And when you're in that struggle, and we're all in that struggle, I'm in that struggle every single day. You're in that struggle every single day. The question is, am I going to argue from Adam? Well, I'm not perfect. I'm a man. Come on, give me a break. I'm not perfect. Or am I going to argue from this position? I'm forgiven. Which side am I going to identify with? I will no longer allow sin to rule my life, because when it rules my life, it brings death. And as long as you identify, listen to me, as long as you identify with yourself being a sinner, you don't have a chance to win. You see, I'm no longer a sinner. You know what I am? I'm a saint. I'm holy. And when you choose to identify with Christ, what happens is it will transform you. But if you choose to operate and argue from Adam, you will always behave as you've always behaved. But here's the good news. You can say no to sin. You can say no to sin. Look what Paul says. Therefore, do not let sin rule in your life. Why? Because the power of sin has been broken. The power of sin has been defeated. You have a new identity. Guess what my identity is? My identity is I'm accepted. My identity is I'm forgiven. My identity is I'm significant. My identity is I'm secure. And so I now have the power to say no. And I'm not going to let sin influence my life or rule my life. You know why? Because it brings death. It causes great hurt, great pain. You think of the hurt in your life. Guarantee it, track it back to sin. Track it back to sin. And what Paul was saying is that you and I need to declare that sin is no longer my master. I got a new master. His name's Jesus. He'll never lead me to do anything that will hurt me or cause death in any relationship or any part of my being. And so he says here, do not let. Listen, every time I choose to sin, I say yes to sin. The devil didn't make me do it. That's thinking like Adam. Paul goes on and he finishes up with this. He says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of righteousness. You know what he's saying? Don't give your eyes to sin. Don't go to the website. Don't look at those pictures. Don't look at her that way. Don't look at him that way. Don't give your mouth to sin. Don't be divisive. Don't gossip. Don't lie. Because when we do, it's an instrument of wickedness and it brings death. It brings death. He says, but rather, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from what? From death, Adam, to life. That's what he is saying here. Offer yourself. Offer your mind. What we say, set your mind on the things above. God, I offer you my mind. I want to think your thoughts. I offer you my eyes. I offer you my ears. I want to listen to that which builds up and not tears down. God, I offer you my tongue. I offer you my hands. I offer you my feet. See, he goes on to say this. He says, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. God, I offer my whole being that I will do what is right in my marriage. God, I offer every part of my being that I will do what is right in my family. God, I offer every part of myself to you as an instrument of righteousness that I will do what is right at work. God, I offer every part of myself to you that I will do what is right in my school, in my community, in my home. And what Paul was saying is this, devote your body to God. You ever done that? Devote your body to God. I do all three of these things every morning. And I haven't sinned since. Just kidding. But I do it every single morning. In some way or another, through my practice, I declare that sin will no longer be Dwight's master. I decide, sin, you will not rule me today in my relationships. I don't want to bring death to my relationships. I don't want to bring death to my home. I don't want to bring death to my friends and family. And God, today, I just want you to know that I devote my body to you. I want you to use me to do that which is right, to bring hope and healing, not death, to the people around me. You see, listen to me. If you're willing today to declare that sin will no longer be your master, if you will decide and say, sin will not rule me, if you will say, God, today I devote my body to you, listen, it has the potential to make all the difference in the world, in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in our church, in our community, and ultimately in our world. So, would you say this? I declare that sin will not be my master. I'm going to decide today and every day that sin will not rule my life. And God, today, I want you to know that I devote my body to you. You see, Paul wraps up his little section here. He says, for sin shall no longer be your master. You're no longer in Adam. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're no longer in Adam. You're in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you're a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. And he wants to live through you. He doesn't want you to imitate him. He doesn't want you to try to be a better person. You'll fail every time. He wants you to live in him and let him do it through you. We're going to talk about that next week. Would you pray with me? Today, maybe you need to move from Adam to Christ. And you need to say, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin and breaking its penalty and power so that I can be free. Thank you for that. Come into my life. Live through me. Maybe you've done that. But maybe today what you need to do is declare that sin will no longer be your master. And not just today, but tomorrow and next week. And just say and whisper, sin, you will no longer be my master. Maybe today you need to be intentional and say, today I decide that sin will no longer rule over me. That I will not let sin reign in my life and wreak havoc and death to all that's around me. And today, God, I devote my body. I've used my body for that which was unrighteous and brought hurt and pain to many. But today I devote my body to righteousness, to bring hope and healing to people. And I pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.